The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. Most Holy Christ, speak to us today. And may we have ears to hear. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me add my welcome to you, especially if you're visiting here at All Saints. And I'm going to pull an executive privilege and introduce my sister, Kara Conrad, and my mother, Linda Rickle, who are right back there today. We welcome you. There is a very simple story about a businessman who, on a very stormy night, boards a plane and takes a middle seat between a middle-aged woman sitting at the window and a little girl sitting on the aisle. After the flight took off, he began a conversation with the little girl, who appeared to be the same age as his daughter. He found it strange that such a young girl would be traveling alone, but he kept his thoughts to himself. About an hour into the flight, the plane was suddenly jolted by extreme turbulence. The pilot came over the PA system and told everyone to fasten their seat belts. Several times over the next half hour, the plane made drastic dips and turns, shaking all the while. People were crying. Many, like the woman sitting by the window, were praying intently. The businessman was sweating and clenching his seat as tightly as he could. Meanwhile, the little girl sat quietly in her seat with her hands resting calmly on her legs. Incredibly, she didn't seem worried at all. Suddenly, the turbulence ended. The pilot came on to apologize for the bumpy ride and announced that they would be landing soon. As the plane began its descent, the man said to the little girl, "You're just a little girl, but I've never met a braver person in all my life. Tell me, dear, how is it you remain so calm while all of the adults were so afraid?" Looking him in the eyes, she said,
My father is the pilot. And he is taking me home.
Oh, my, my, my.
When you and I board a plane, we're lucky to even meet the pilot. And yet we go up with them in a metal tube that's going to fly at over 500 miles an hour at over 30,000 feet. We must have faith that it's all going to work, because otherwise it really makes no sense. That businessman, nor most anyone else on that flight, knew the pilot, but that little girl did. One had faith, and the other did too, but one had a relationship as well, and one didn't. And my argument today is the relationship makes a difference. I love the story of what has become known as Doubting Thomas. In fact, I consider Thomas one of the heroes of the Bible. He may be the first, like Ronald Reagan used to say, trust but verify. This story is so well known that it has become a very secular used phrase, as in, well, he or she is real Doubting Thomas. This title is usually put upon those who doubt a story or someone who doubts an idea, or even a simple naysayer, someone who always is against instead of for. But I think to use this story that way is to truly miss the point, and also to demean Thomas, and perhaps even you and me. Because I think Thomas stands in this story as a reflection of you and me. Because you and me are those who have been left the story of Jesus and the gift of the faith that is his legacy, but without the benefit of seeing or touching Jesus, without the benefit of direct contact. You and I don't get to see the mark of the nails, or to put our hands in them, or to touch his side, or see him resurrected. When Jesus says, "Blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen," he's specifically talking about us and all those who would come after the time when he walked and worked in Galilee and in Jerusalem. I've used this line before, but I almost always think of it when we get to this specific story, and that's of the theologian Paul Tillich's quote, that doubt is not the absence of faith, but instead the absolute proof of it. What is so important here is the word used in the ancient language for faith. It's a word is called pistis in Greek, and it meant more technically trust, quite different from the way we often hear and use the word faith. We might write this line differently. Jesus' words to Thomas, "Do not be distrusting, but trusting." And maybe, "Are you trusting because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to trust." Trust is far more what Jesus was getting at, I believe, and to my mind and heart, what we are doing when we bow to follow Jesus. And any time you trust, it's always mingled with a bit of doubt. Always. Trust requires that any of us make a leap. It requires that we own that we don't know for sure, that we don't have facts, that we cannot be totally certain. And it is very different from the way we often mingle the notion of faith with belief. So often faith is described and more or less judged, measured, assessed on just how unwavering we are in it, just how absolute we believe it to be. And I think that's unfair of the human condition, and even detrimental to the journey that Jesus hoped we would be on. Trusting means we are still growing, still learning, still absorbing what it means to follow. The wisdom of the Tao says that if you open yourself to virtue, virtue will become part of you. If you open yourself to loss, the lost are glad to see you. By the same token, if you do not trust people, people will become untrustworthy. To trust comes always with risk. If you think about it, anytime you have to come to the word trust, you as a human have to take a risk. Nothing is ironclad. We risk so that we can trust. Over time, perhaps the risk goes down because we have the experience, but it's always a journey. I believe it's the same when Jesus says, "My peace I give to you." He knew full well you or anyone who decides to follow will have to take a risk. The Pax Romana, the Roman peace, which Jesus and all those he walked and lived with and preached to, lived under, was enforced by violence. Much of the world peace is actually enforced by violence. It was the absence of conflict through military conquest, through surveillance, and through oppression. It may sound familiar. It's so often the world's way of peace, but Christ's peace comes from the victory over evil through the absorption of suffering, a completely opposite concept. In worldly enforced peace, it is often what you take up or possess or can acquire that gives the peace. But in Jesus' peace, it is what you give up, the risks you are willing to take, the trust you are willing to offer that brings peace. So, trust and the faith I think Jesus really wants us to have comes with risk, always. But the reward, I believe, is a different peace, Christ's peace. And even more, the reward is a relationship. When we risk enough to trust, we begin to build bonds of affection and peace and love. This is what Jesus was speaking of. That little girl on the plane had faith in her father. But even more, she trusted him. And she did because she had a relationship with him. Thomas was honest. He was telling the truth. He couldn't give himself up to a mere idea, the resurrected Jesus. He needed to see it in order to begin moving toward that risky place of having trust in it. I liken it to a great priest who taught me so much, George Regas, rector of All Saints, Pasadena, California, for years. And a person I got to spend some time with as a mentor in seminary. He once asked a man to be on the vestry, and the man laughed out loud and said, "George, I don't even know if I believe in God." And George didn't bat an eye. He just looked right at him and asked, "Would you like to believe there is one?" And the man stopped laughing and said, "Yes, I'd like to believe that." And George said, "That's good enough for me. You trust me? I think you'd make a great vestry person." And so he said yes, and eventually became an integral part of that congregation, and eventually a full-blown member of this little band of followers we call Christian. That's trust, like that little girl. She was with her father, and she was going home, and she had complete trust in him. Was it risky? Of course. It's risky every time we go up in a plane or get in our car to drive or walk across a crosswalk or out our front door. And in every one of those steps, there's a modicum of faith and trust in ourselves, but especially in our fellow human beings. Faith does not come out of a void, but instead out of the risk of giving yourself over to a relationship with God. It comes from taking a risk of leaning into that which we can never truly and fully understand here. That builds trust, and that is true faith. The relationship indeed makes a difference. So risk that, build that, trust that, and faith will grow. My beloved, I've said these words to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.